Welcome to Let's Talk with Andy and Kath Taylor, a podcast from LL Ministries. And well, Catherine, a lot has happened in our lives since we last did one of these ear podcasts.
It's true. We became grandparents. We have grandbabies, don't we? Little Elijah and Wren came into our lives.
A double portion, twins.
Twins, little twinnies.
Yeah.
And they were born in October with our son Jacob and our beautiful daughter-in-law Rachel. And yeah, our lives have gone back to nappies and cooing and baby talk. I forgot how good I am at it.
They are very entertaining.
But I'm really good at baby talk.
You are, actually.
Yeah, I literally can just spend hours just talking to them about nonsense.
Yeah, my phone is filling up with videos of you doing that.
It does. Oh, dear. I feel like I might start doing it with people. You know, like after a while where you're like, hello, I feel like I might start doing it.
Please don't do that to me.
Hello.
No.
Andy.
No,
what a big boy.
No. Anyway, today we're not going to be talking about these beautiful grandbabies
of ours.
I
bet we can bring them in. I bet any money we can use them as an analogy.
If there's anyone still listening, it'll be a miracle. We are going to talk about what it means to be human.
Yes, I love this. I love it. I love it.
And we're talking about this why?
Because it's
do we sometimes forget? Maybe?
Well, I think it's so freeing, Andy.
I mean, what do we mean by it? Because obviously we look in the mirror and we see a human being in front of us, but we miss out on maybe what it means to be human. Is this a Christian problem, do you think?
What, that we forget that we're human?
Yeah, we see ourselves either as we're either a spiritual superhero or a complete failure.
I think that's true. I mean, I found this very freeing. I've been listening to a podcast called Being Human, so we've literally just stolen the title.
Yep.
And I love it. I love just one of the things on this podcast that the guy talks about is about being human-sized.
Right.
And letting God be God-sized.
I like that.
I think that's quite a thing, isn't it? Like just to allow ourselves. So I thought that we could chat about it today.
I like that, actually, because the danger for us is that we then start thinking, well, I have to do God's job. Do you know what I mean? And I know that Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said, right, I'm sending you out, go into all the world and make disciples, which of course we are passionately wanting to do. But the danger is that we try to behave like we're God, but we're not God.
That's right. But we're human size, but we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So the truth is that God is going to do amazing things through us. But at the end of the day, we're human. And
right.
I'd love us just to unpack some of the things of what it means to be human.
Okay.
I mean, shall I start with the one that really got me onto this bandwagon?
Yeah.
I've got to tell a little story.
Okay.
So back a few, I think it's probably last year, I was at one of the LL centres and I was doing a teaching, and I've done this quite a few times at the Grange, where I was talking about criticism and because I just like everything pictorial and illustrations, I took a plant that was on the platform and I used it and I sort of tore it. He's looking at me like, oh my life, and it's true.
No, it's
but
good.
I tore this plant apart a little bit, making the point of what criticism is like, a pictorial vision of, and so I was picking off its leaves and saying, well, I don't like that bit, and I'm just trying to squash it. So I basically
attacked. You do that normally, I mean, I've seen you do this, and there's normally shrieks of horror.
Yeah, everyone feels sorry for the plant
flowers. Lovers in the room. I mean, we're plant killers, so it doesn't really bother us so much. But
Yeah. Anyway, so I attacked this plant like I have done many times before, and hopefully was getting a point across of we can do that to ourselves, or we can have had that done to us. And at the end, one of the leaders, and I won't name them, came up to me, and bless her heart, she just looked shocked at me and she said, Kath, my plant, like this. And honestly, Andy, I like looked at her face and this moment of realization hit me that I'd literally just merrily.
Is it almost like beloved plant and you just completely mangled it?
Well, so Isaac was there, our youngest son, who's 20, he's gone off to Australia. That's another change in our lives. But anyway, And I saw her face, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And she just made the point, like, you know, I guess, even how she said it, but she said it so nicely, but basically, maybe you should have asked, right. Which is such a good point. And I was just, you know, if you'd asked, maybe I would have given you a different plant
it's
or something.
Job I'm just saying it's a good job your demonstration isn't like destroying cars or something. You imagine?
So I could get carried away.
Run your key down the side of someone's car door.
Yeah, yeah. Don't give me ideas. Anyway, so I went back to my room and I felt so sick, awful. I just felt so guilty. I felt so bad. And I'm saying, and then Isaac came up and I said, oh, Isaac, you won't believe what I've done. And I told him, and he said, oh, it wasn't her. It wasn't that plant that's on the platform, was it? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, that's her favorite plant. Oh, it had been given to her by, so he made it even 100 times worse. Anyway, so then I found myself with God, you know, I went on this shame spiral. And I found myself, oh God, you know, I'm just such a terrible person. And da, 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 da. And I just felt like God said in the midst of it, you just made a mistake. I just had this, actually, I made a mistake. Yeah. I had to put it right with the person because it was when I said sorry and all the rest of it. And she was very gracious and completely forgave me and has never mentioned it since. No, that's a good point. Will do. And never mentioned it since. But I hadn't sinned, you know, I hadn't actually, like, I didn't need to repent to God. I just made a mistake. And it just got me thinking, actually, sometimes in life we make a mistake.
Yeah, and I think that is the area that we're not great at allowing us to just be there. Do you know what I mean? Like even if you think of these, I mean, I'm going to do it. Are you ready?
What are you going to do? Other babies.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, even if you just think about those two little tinkers.
Our grandbabies.
Our grandbabies, right? Like, they haven't yet worked out how to just keep milk in their stomach the whole time, have they? So sometimes they'll just
puke it
up, you know, over our jumpers or whatever. And they won't mind doing that because their body is just developing and they're limited in what they can do. They can't walk yet. They can't talk yet. And I even when you started telling me this stuff, I started thinking about Jesus because he was fully human. I mean, I know he's fully God, but he was also fully human. And he was pint-sized like these little grandbabies of ours.
Yeah.
And then he grew up as a carpenter's son. Mm. And for some weird reason, I had this thought in my head. I wonder when he first took a hammer to a nail, whether he got it in perfectly first shot. Mm. And of course, there's no way he did. Well, maybe he did, but I don't think he did because he had to learn how to use a hammer and how to use a nail. So I imagine even for Jesus, there were moments where he hit the nail and it bent the nail, or he missed the nail completely and whacked his thumb like I always do. Or, you know, there's a process of him learning in his humanness.
Yeah,
that isn't sin.
No.
It's just life. It's just being human. It's just living within the limitations of where you are as a human being.
And sometimes that will have an effect on other people, like my plant thing did. It had an effect on somebody else and I had to put it right with them.
Right.
But, you know, maybe I did sin against them. I don't know. But I don't have to spiral to this thing of repentance. And I think it goes back to what
or
you
shame.
Started off. Yes, exactly. It goes back to what you started off of. There's only two categories, the spiritual and the sinful.
Yeah,
and which is basically
success or failure.
Black and white, or good, and you know, there's
So I'm either a successful person / Christian, or I'm a failure, and that
I'm doing everything right, or I'm doing everything wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And then comes with that is the shame and the feeling of being rubbish, and I've got no.
But I found this quite freeing, just to think after that, you know, sometimes I might make a mistake. I might say the wrong thing or not communicate something well, which still means I've got to readdress it. But there is sin. And a lot of what we put down as sin is maybe sometimes just making mistakes. I think that's one of the things that I found very, and it, to me, comes down to we're human beings. We make mistakes.
Right.
What else? We have a little list, don't we? Do you want to pick something else on the list?
Well, just about, I guess, limitations.
Yeah.
We all have limitations on what we can do. Like, I can't just walk out of our house and then fly.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Much as I'd love to do that, the Superman thing. but I'm limited in my physicality, in the fact that my body needs rest. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So even if I wanted to work, you know, 7 days a week, massively long hours, actually I'm not built to, there's a limitation on me.
There is limitations.
Eventually that's going to take it.
There's emotional limitations, aren't there? There's mental limitations. Yeah. Like you are a classic at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, is not the time for us to do a podcast.
Well, not if you want to, I mean, if anything worth listening to, no.
No, and I have limitations. I really don't want to talk to you on a morning. That is my limitation, Andy. That is me being human.
I'm allowed to talk.
Yeah, we have rules.
I'm just not allowed to expect an answer.
This is a tip for marriage, I think. Yeah. If you're not a morning person, you have a rule.
Bring me coffee.
Yeah.
You can talk. Don't expect me to talk back.
I don't mind if it's like the radio. Like if you're like the radio and you just, I've just, you know, switched you on.
Giving
you,
information.
Yes.
Because I'm a bit questions. More bright on a morning, aren't I?
You're like a ray of sunshine, Andy, that's burst into my dark cave uninvited. No, right. Yeah. Well, limitations. I think that's so. And God respects and honours and allows us to have limitations.
Don't you think he designed it that way? Like, surely he designed it that way because he wants us to rely on him.
Yeah, because we're not God. He didn't make us God.
Yeah.
He didn't make us angels.
In the image of God. And we reflect something of him. But we are still limited. We're limited by time. We're limited by our physical, you know, attributes or whatever.
Well, even aging.
Aging, yeah.
We become limited, don't we?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mm. Well, and that goes with needing rest. Like we, as human beings, we need rest. You know, we can't be. I know some people do become workaholics, but it only lasts so long. You can't just, you know, it's detrimental to us. So we do need rest. And I guess even that, God put it in place, didn't he? Sabbath and made it a law that we would take rest because he knows who we are.
Yeah. I mean, another one would be things like having, you know, anxious thoughts because we're limited by what we know. Do you know what I mean? Like I can't see the future. Mm. I don't know everything that's happening on planet Earth and how everything in my life is going to work out. So then let's say I hear some shocking news. Well, that's going to have that's going to cause me to be in shock.
It just right? is,
because
isn't
that's it? I'm limited because I don't know everything. I don't know how that thing I've just heard about is going to play out and what the end result is going to be yet. I'm trying to process it. I'm probably imagining different scenarios of what might happen, but I'm limited in that. And I guess in all these things, what it does is it's supposed to draw me towards God, right? That's the thing that it's supposed to do, as particularly in areas of anxiety that come from not knowing everything.
I think this is I think just to give ourselves permission that it's, that obviously we don't stay in that anxious place or that insecure place, but as human beings, and maybe because of the fall as well, but not that it's all sinful, but that we have anxious responses or we have insecure feelings when we're faced with the fact that we are human and exactly what you're saying, that we're not in control. You know, if something's happening in America with Trump or something making decisions, that's going to have, you know, that we read it and it can cause a reaction or our own prime minister or anything really. You know, we get a medical diagnosis, something happens in our family. We're not failing that we have a normal anxious response. It's just what we do with that. Mm. It's where we go with that. It's whether we take that anxious human response to God and invite him into it, or whether we just then develop our own ways of coping with it.
Yeah. I was thinking as well about like limitations on ability, like gifting, like different people have different gifting.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think as a Christian, we should be brilliant at everything. Do you know what I mean? We should be able we should have an amazing memory so we can just recite the Bible like we're a walking concordance. We should be able to do public speaking and preach an amazing sermon or do teaching. we should be able to lead, we should be a prophet, we should be able to heal people in the name of Jesus, we should, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the gifts of the Spirit are this amazing empowerment from God to enable us to do what we can't naturally do. But that is, again, evidence of the fact that we are naturally limited. And we sometimes put these standards up that we have to be, you know, I have to be this and I have to be this and I have to be this. But I love the fact that God says that we are together, we make the body.
Mm.
So, you know,
the
leg,
group of humans.
The leg has to be the leg. It doesn't work for the leg to be the face. You know, that would be a very odd body. So there's something about being content with my place in the body, even, and the limitation of that, and be able to celebrate other people within their gifting.
Yeah, that's it. But isn't it interesting that you were using that word should be? I should be. You listed off all those should be's, right, or I have to be. And I think that's where shame comes, and really just coming to a place of peace, of this is me. This is me, Catherine Taylor. I'm a human being. I want the Holy Spirit filling every area of my life. But at the end of the day, I'm a human and I have limitations. And it takes off some of that, you should be, I should be, you should be. It's so condemning, because I think even within Christianity, the enemy works to condemn us, to tell us we should be something that we can never be, because we're not going to be God. We're not going to be anything more than who he made us to be, and he made us humans.
Yeah, and I think as well, to add into what we've just been saying though, I think there's something that when you come to peace about that you don't kind of box yourself in on what you think your limitations are now, because God does have this habit of pushing people beyond what they think they can do. I mean, even if you think of, you know, the Apostle Peter, he was a fisherman. There's no way in a million years he ever thought of himself as being like the leader of the New Testament church. Never would have entered his head, oh, I haven't got the right giftings for that, I haven't got the right skills for that. So we have to be willing for God to push us out of where we are, but within the context of being at peace, that I can only do what he enables me to do.
But isn't that another thing of being human, is that we're learning and we're growing?
Right, true.
We're changing. We're growing and changing. And as God works in our lives, I mean, another big thing of being human is that we have emotions.
Yeah.
But he's teaching us about our emotions. I mean, at the minute, back to the twins, when they feel something, nice, they just literally feel it.
They feel it.
And to be honest, they're even getting to the point where I think they're just copying each other. If one cries, the other cries. So, you know, but they're going to have to learn at some point how to manage those emotions, but they will still have emotions. And and some of us, even as adults, we're having to learn our emotions, because we've maybe not had, teaching on emotions, and our emotional intelligence, if you like, is weaker. So we can learn and grow again. I think it's giving ourselves grace, isn't it? Humans. Yeah. I like what you're saying though, because I do think that there is a danger that we settle and allow things thinking that they're human.
You're right.
Which I think is an important thing that we talk about, our sort of carnality. You've got a good quote.
Yeah, I read this thing in a blog on the Thomas Nelson website, and it just said, permission to be human is not permission to be carnal. So I like the way it starts that off.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll unpack a little bit what carnal means. So permission to be human is not permission to be carnal. Instead, acknowledging our humanity is a constant awareness that life is bigger than us. And because of that, there will be seasons that catch us unprepared, ill-equipped, and off balance. This reality does not mean we are unfaithful. It just means we are human. I really like that.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be things that happen in life that do catch us off guard and expose, I guess, the limitation. And at the same time, as I give my permission to be that human being that is limited in many, many ways, not using that as an excuse to be carnal or sinful or fleshly or whatever. And this carnal thing is a really interesting word. It's one of those kind of churchy words that's sometimes hard to grab hold of. Like, what does that actually mean to be carnal? So what does it mean to be carnal, Catherine?
For goodness sake. That is not how this podcast works. I ask the question.
Yeah, I understand.
We have a definition of carnality that we use in Elal in our notes, don't we?
Yeah, we do. On one of our Explore weekends, talking about the human spirit, actually, there's a section on carnality. And it says, carnality is a predisposition. Sounds a big word, doesn't it? Mm. A predisposition. No.
I bet you can, because you got it.
Well, I could just read the letters off here, yeah. I'm limited in my spelling ability, Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of that. I will not be entering a spelling bee anytime soon. Okay. Carnality is a predisposition to live out of our own understanding and desires, separated from the Creator.
So it goes back to the fall, doesn't it? It must go back to the fall of Adam and Eve finding their own ways to cope. They used the fig leaves. They went to the bushes.
Yeah.
Actually, from God.
Even before that, though, it's interesting because I think I heard a podcast on it or something, but someone was saying about the fruit, this forbidden fruit, which was of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I guess because of that, I always in my mind was thinking, well, you know, the knowledge of good and evil then is something that God didn't want us to have. But on this podcast, it was basically saying it's not that God doesn't want us to have knowledge between good and evil, but he wanted to be the one that provided that knowledge to us on his terms, in his way. And as mankind, we said, actually, we'd like to have that on our terms and in our way, which to me sums up completely what this carnality thing is. It's this predisposition to live out of our own understanding and desires, separated from the Creator. So now I'm in this kind of self mode where I can provide for myself, fix myself, hide myself, and I'm doing it without Him.
Yeah.
And actually, in the scriptures, you see it in Jeremiah 2 and at the end of Isaiah 50, there are these things that really are a kind of an offense to the Lord, where either we built our own cisterns, or in Isaiah 50, it's we lit our own torches. So we're trying to do it separated from him. And then you get the contrast of that, which is in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. And you get Paul basically saying, he says this, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." So, I mean, they're in this terrible situation where Paul himself is like despairing of life because of how hard it is. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Mm. So that's the difference, is that this limitation of our humanness is supposed to draw us towards the Lord.
Yeah.
And rely on the Lord.
So in a funny way, it isn't about settling like, well, I'm just a human being, so, you know, I get things wrong and this is who I am, and I'm
take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's all very, that even in itself could be very carnal. But it's a freeing thing to say we're accepting ourselves as the human beings that God made us, which involves a whole lot of just humanity, that we need fun and we need joy and we have emotions, like we've been saying, all those things. But kind of like coming to a place of, I suppose it's humility, really, of saying, I can only be human-sized, but you, God, are the one who is all-powerful and all-knowing, and I bring my human-sized me to you. And I need you. And then we do need his Holy Spirit, and we need his empowering, and we need his protection and his care. So it's not a selfish, it's not coming to a place of self-indulgence to think, well, I'm just human, but to come to a place of acceptance to then realize, well, then if that's who we are, then of course we need God.
Yeah. I think it's that place of coming to peace with the nature of the relationship,
yeah,
that he is the parent and I'm the child.
Yeah.
He is God and I'm not. He's the creator, I'm the created.
Mm.
And then in that, living really in the knowledge of my need for him.
Yeah.
So even when you were talking, I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer, that it's, you know, of course it starts off with holy are you, and, you know, we worship you, our Father. But then it is, everything is about, please give me what I need today, yeah. my daily bread. I might have a job, but I'm ultimately looking to you to be my provider. Please forgive me, because I need forgiving as I forgive other people. Please deliver me. You know, there's this, even in that prayer, there's such a reliance on him, this holy, awesome God, that we want his kingdom to come, his will to be done. But all of this stuff is about what we need him. We need him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best fruit that comes out of this idea of, I'm just human and I'm human sized. And sometimes I try to be bigger than human sized, and that is problematic.
So let's knuckle it down to something like, you know, imagine somebody listening to this has a struggle with pornography, or they have a struggle with judging people and criticizing people, you know, things that, you know, what we're not saying is to think, well, I'm just a human being and I have sexual needs, or, oh, well, I'm just a human being and I have weaknesses. I have opinions.
We just use it as a kind of justification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we make it clear that's not what we're saying.
Definitely not what we're saying.
But we're saying, in a sense, that if they are your struggles, or any of our struggles, our anxieties, our insecurities, it's coming to a person saying, God, this just reminds me that I need you.
Right.
And these are things that I can be free from in my life, and I can make godly choices, but I need your help, Lord, because...
Need your strength.
Yeah.
Need your power.
Yeah.
Need your Holy Spirit. Need your deliverance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're in a spiritual war. Mm-hmm. How are we going to fight that on our own without his help?
Yeah.
You know, and the Bible is full of put off the old man. Mm-hmm. Like, don't, you know, this carnal nature, we're supposed to reckon it as dead. Don't feed it. Don't look at it. Don't, you know, we don't get free of it till we're with Jesus, but we are supposed to kill that sucker.
Yeah.
Every day of our life. And we cannot do that without reliance on him.
Yeah. So I think it comes down, in a way, to something that we talk a lot about, which is the difference between conviction and condemnation. Yeah. So conviction would say, well, if there are sin issues in our life, we've got to repent of them,
right,
and bring them. But again, it's bringing them to Jesus. It's not just repenting in and of ourselves, because we're just human beings who need Jesus. So we've got to come to the cross and repent,
yeah,
and put them right. But I do think that there's, in this, listening to when there's the condemner's voice who says, well, you should be more like them, and look at them, listen to them on that podcast, because we could sound really like...
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, do you think? Yeah. People could be like, wow, I wish I was like Andy and Kath.
I doubt you very much.
Oh, you just don't know, do you? Could, yeah, do. Anyway, you know, should be, or you should be more like that, or you should be, you know, more like the person at church, or you shouldn't be tired. What's wrong with you? You're weak. And standing against that and coming to a place of peace of, I am a human being. God made me. He accepts us as human beings. I mean, he accepts us as human beings with our sin. That's the bizarre thing, isn't it? But he does want us to clean up our sin, bring it to the cross.
Yeah, I like that, because what the danger for us, even in our human-sizedness, is that we're always looking for a bit of a scapegoat, something to blame shift onto. So, you know, well, I can blame shift my sin onto the fact that I'm human sized. And so that makes it okay. That's not what we're saying at all, you know. And so all of this, everything that God is doing in our lives, is designed to draw us towards him. And part of that drawing towards him goes right back to the message that John the Baptist gave before Jesus' ministry started, which was, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths. And there's something in this being human thing where we say, Lord, I recognize that I'm limited in so many ways, and that draws me to be reliant on you. But I also want to walk on a straight, narrow path. I want my life to be worship to you, actually, and holy, and I want to pursue holiness. Even though you make me holy, I want to pursue holiness. And I don't want to use humanness as my excuse, but in my humanness, it brings me to my knees, where I say, Lord, I need your mercy, I need your grace, I need your power, I need your enabling. And that then wow, what a transformation that will bring. Other than, because the only other option is, I'm an amazing Christian and I can push through and I will just tell the enemy, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'll be all victorious, whatever. But I'm not on my knees. You see, the thing with this human size thing is it humbles us.
It does.
And yeah. It brings us to our knees and we say, Lord, I can't do anything without you. I'm limited in every way possible. I'm just a blade of grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. I'm a vapor. And yet I'm your beloved and you draw me in. So I just love it. I hope as we share this, it's been, you know, it encourages all of our hearts that we can just be human-sized little old us and rely on our humongous, beautiful, faithful, loving Heavenly Father. So, yeah, good. I think maybe you should.
Good sum up, Andy. Well done.
All right.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that your love is so massive and huge. I want to thank you that you are massive and huge. You are in control. You're always in control. And sometimes, Lord, in our arrogance and in our sinfulness, we forget that and we don't lean into that and we think it's about what we can do or what we can't do and we listen to the enemy and his shaming and we think that we're failing and yet we're missing the point. You're God. You are God. You're the creator. You're the one who put all the stars in place, the one who knit us together. You are in control. And we are human beings that you made. You wanted us to be human beings. You sent your son Jesus as a human being. And Lord, I just pray for each person who's listening that a freedom would come, of a freedom to be the person that you made them to be and to rest in that. And even if that includes weaknesses and areas of need, and I'm sure it does, Lord, because it does for us all, that can be brought to you because you're God, you're healer, you're restorer. We're your children. We're no different to Ren and Elijah who just need their mum and dad. We need you, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that you would lift off and teach us a new way to live, Lord, not ever settling for our sinfulness or ever making excuses for our sinfulness, but being at rest, being human beings and realizing that acknowledging that we do have limitations and we have needs and we have humanity and all the expressions of humanity, of rest and joy and fun and friendships, they're all part of being human, relationships. So Lord, I just pray you would just bless each person listening and Lord, that as we grow and walk with you, we would become more and more free to be the people that you made us to be, so you can pour out of us in greater ways into this world. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy your Being Human Day today. And we will be back with you again soon. Thanks for joining us for Let's Talk with Andy and Kath Taylor, a podcast from LL Ministries. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review or by contacting us at hello@ll.org or through Facebook. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we also have other excellent resources online at ll.org, which we hope you will enjoy. Thanks again for listening.